Amen. What a joy it is to be here. And right here at Compass Long Beach. Come on, let me clap for that. Compass Long Beach. Well, I want to rejoice. Honestly, I'm excited for this church to begin. I want to get here in the early days because I love Josh Petras. I knew him when he was a goofy high school student. I used to preach at youth conference. I think it means I'm getting old. That's not true, right, Josh? But when he was in high school, I used to do youth camps at Faith Bible Church Marietta. And to watch him grow from a young man to become a man who's leading a church. But so exciting to be here. And honestly, you cannot help but even honor Bruce Blakey, a friend I've known now for a lot of years. Him and his wife, and just the legend that they are, and being a backbone and a mentor. Isn't that a Paul, Timothy type of an arrangement that you can only dream about? But it takes a godly man who's really done it. Bruce is, I've known Bruce at Grace Church. I've known him at Believers Fellowship in San Antonio. You guys are so blessed. God's got a work he's going to do here in Long Beach, right? And it takes the church being the church. And the thing that I've loved so far at Compass Bible Church is that we have 1,000 ministers. We don't just have one. Everybody's active. Everybody's getting involved to advance the name of Christ. And as we said in this video, it's for the joy of the people and for the glory of God. And let me just say in the opening, in the beginning here, it's for the joy of the people. Our gospel changes societies. And I'm going to introduce this here in a second, but our gospel changes societies. It changes lives for their joy. Our gospel changes everything because you go from serving self to serving Christ. You go from serving self to actually doing things God's way. And when you love your neighbor, it's better than not loving him, right? When you get married and do things by having children in marriage, it's better than not doing it that way, right? Listen, and we have a world that's living as if there is no king. But we get to let them know there is a king, and his way is, that's all the people that were in fellowship this morning. That there is a, and his way is the, there is a, and his way is the, that's the message. And so for the joy of our communities, the goal of this morning is to get you out in those communities, not because it's like uncool. No, because it's the most loving thing you can do. And that's the nature of our message this morning. Before I do that, I want you to do me a favor. Get your phones and hit this QR code because I want you to get updates from our ministry. And later on, you can say unsubscribe, no problem. But at least pretend, like go through this exercise. And I want you to get our updates. It's going to take you to our website. And you go all the way to the bottom and put your email address and get our updates. If it says a problem, do it again later, too many people at one time. But please get our updates. We want to encourage. This is not about SOS. This is not even about Uganda. This is about Christ being known throughout the world. Am I right? And so with that, I want to encourage you through those things, obviously with what God's doing there, with the hope and the goal that you'll pray and that you'll encourage us, through your prayer support and what have you. But I want to give you the updates, let you know what's going on in that way. What a thrill to be here. What a thrill to be here in these early days. How many months have you been going now? Six. Come on, you're going to get 1 year here soon. Josh, time flies. You're going to get gray hair like me or lose hair, either one. But guys, what a joy. I'm just proud of all of you guys. Let me just say as a friend to the ministry, I'm proud of all of you guys who have left HB and have come here to begin this mission. And as soldiers in his army, stay on task. Listen, you're not with Bobby anymore. Get over that, all right? You're now with Josh. And it'll be far greater in better ways. And it'll be different in other ways. That's okay. because we're not following Paul, we're not following Apollos, we're not following Bobby, we're not even following Josh. We're following who? Right? Aren't we? Woo! Come on, say woo! La 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 la! Go ahead. You're allowed to do that in church. You are. But man, it's something so exciting. Listen, let God form his body right here. No body's the same. Because no leader's the same. No members are the same. And let's watch and see what God does in this area. But listen, let's be on a mission. The mission is to know Christ and to follow him. To know him and to follow him. And that's what the goal would be. But I want to thank you for being on mission. I want to thank you for this. And I want to put juice in you. I want to infuse in you a greater passion to reach the lost. In your workplaces, in your communities, everywhere you go. Just drag them to church. And that'll be a little bit of the nature of the message I want to share with you this morning. You know, I've lived in Uganda. It'll be 20 years in January. 20 years living in the continent and the country of Uganda. And it's been a crazy journey. Unbelievable. Thrilling. And God's doing beyond what we could have asked, think, and imagine. And how many are ready to come on a missions trip? Huh? Come on, next year. Josh is leading. He doesn't want to, but he's doing it anyways. And if Josh goes, Bruce says he'll go. No, he didn't say that, but Bruce says this. He says, you know, Uganda's now for young men. But look, Bruce, we're getting him one more time. We want Bruce over. Come on, if you want Bruce to come one more time, clap with me. Woo, Bruce, come on. Roberta wants to come too. I know she wants it. She does. Well, listen, one thing that's changed through these 20 years is America. America, when I left, is a little different today. As I walked over here to pray, I recognized there's gender, something bad. I'm like, what is that? America's changing. The world is changing. And as a student of God's word, you're not surprised. We know from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says that in the last days, difficult times will what? Will come. Why? It's for men will be lovers of selfies. I mean, lovers of self. Selfies are funny, aren't they? They're like, you're like, what in the world? Who are you sending that? The world has changed. They'll be lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving. This one gets me for those who are in biblical counseling, irreconcilable. That's painful. Nothing worse than counseling someone that you can't reconcile. Malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I always say America loves pleasure like Africans love money. We are so given over to pleasure and we get so much of it here. That's what drives it all, right? You somehow experience pleasure through your phone and what other people are doing. That was awesome. I saw that. Things falling from heaven. But pleasure is driving. Something fell off the thing up there. That's what that was. It's not a bat. You're okay. Nothing from Africa, I promise. It's just some of the effects of the morning and be having a new preacher here. But we're rather than that, it says, but holding to a form of godliness. So people want to still look godly, but live all the contrary ways. That's the day in which we live it. And it says, and indeed, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Verse 12. Listen. This is the day in which we're living. The day in which we're living is a day in which people are going to live lawlessly, but still claim to be godly. And it's going to result in persecution, and evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And listen, and we can see on the signs all around us in the media. It's clear that the days are evil and getting worse. When riots are being accepted, sexual revolutions becoming promoted, when pornography and unholy pleasure seeking becomes normal expressions of entertainment, in a day when the only thing the world is intolerant toward is God and his moral standards, we know the church is in trouble. But what does that mean for us? What does that mean for you as a church plant going and seeking to penetrate into the world? It means that you are going to be forced to either do one of two things. Either you are going to conform and engage in the immoral parade, or you're going to pay the price for upholding God's moral standards. One or the other. Am I right? Hello? Am I right? Oh, come on. Come with me. But listen, I want to exhort you this morning that we must uphold God. We must uphold his truth for the joy of humanity and for the glory of our master. But listen, it comes with this fact that the church is rapidly and slowly moving toward days of persecution. And it's in light of this that I want to provide this encouragement to you today. I want to take you to the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm told that you preached this a little while ago, but it's okay. I'll correct everything Josh didn't say. But open your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I want to look at verses 9 through 16 with you. And I want to provide for you five key words. Five key words to remember during these last days. Five key words to remember during these last days. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verses 9 through 16. And I want to read it together. And my prayer is that I'll uplift you and embolden you to live radical in this day and age in which we live. Let's read from the words of Jesus Christ, our King, together. Can we? Yes. Woo! Okay. Matthew chapter 5, starting with me in verse 9. Blessed are the, for they shall be called. Blessed are those who are, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be, for your reward is in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let me begin by giving you the first key word. The first key word is characteristics. Characteristics. What I want to help you understand is the context. Here we see in Matthew's gospel, Jesus from chapters 1 through 4 says, hey, I'm the king. I'm the king. I'm the Messiah. Messiah is king. I'm the king of the Jews. I am that promised Messiah who's to come. I am here. Chapters 1 to 4 is him showing from his birth, through his genealogy, through his birth, through his early living. I am that king. Chapters 5 to 7, he's saying, listen, and I want to show you the preaching of me as the king. And he comes in 5 to 7 and says, let me show you I'm the king. And I'm going to show you who's in the kingdom. And in the Beatitudes, that's what we see. Who's in the kingdom? Who's in the kingdom? You want to know whether you're in the kingdom? Well, he tells you. Do you want to know? Yes, come on. See, I want to know. Well, look, he tells us in chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. He says, those who are poor in, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He says, those who mourn, for they shall be what? You see, he uses his words kingdom of heaven and comforted and shall inherit the earth and shall be satisfied and shall receive mercy and will see God and will be called sons of God. These are all words that say they are the ones who will be in the kingdom. Who are they? Those who are poor in, those who recognize their sin and their words. I have nothing to give God. I'm only a sinner. Oh, and they, God shows them their sin. And they go, wow, I got a problem. I'm bankrupt inside, nothing to offer to God. And not only that, but then they go from that, they mourn. They mourn over what? Their sin. This is who's in the kingdom. You become poor in spirit. You mourn over your sin. You become meek. That is, you become gentle and gracious to others because you realize so much grace has been given to you. And then you begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then you become merciful. People mistreat you and you absorb their mistreatment and respond with love. This is who's in the kingdom. This is the work of God. He creates this passion for righteousness. See, are you born again? You see, he's writing and he's addressing in the context of people who are religious but not saved. And he's showing them, if you want to know whether you're really saved, this is what it looks like. That you become pure in heart. There's no hypocrisy about you. There's total transparency, total openness. But then he says this, verse 9. Everybody look at verse 9 with me. They are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Pause. The first word, key word, which I don't think I gave you yet, is characteristics. These are the characteristics of a believer, of those who are in the kingdom. What does he mean by a peacemaker? You are the one who goes out with the message of peace, and you go everywhere with this message of peace. Because, see, the gospel so changes your heart that now it must change what? Others. We got to go out with it. Oh, look, I've been changed. You can be changed too. And you want others to come to peace with what? With God. But notice the peacemaking leads to something else. What does he say in verse 10? Blessed are those who are what? A little louder, those who are what?
Persecuted
for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, it goes from being peacemakers to being persecuted. These are the characteristics of a Christian. You see, the fingerprints of God's transforming work in your life is you become all of these things. And if you're not a messenger, if you're not a preacher of the gospel, you need to say, am I in the kingdom? Because it's a natural overflow of God's transforming work in your heart. But it's going to, and this is going to be a really hopeful message, it's going to produce what? Persecution. It's going to produce what? You say, whoa, yes, thank you, Shannon, for coming here with a sweet message. This is the fact. It's going to produce persecution. It's going to cost you. But let me tell you, it will be the greatest demonstration of whether you really believe the gospel message or not. And it will become the alarm to them that they're in the wrong when you endure it with love for them. According to the context, persecution is what is characterizing a believer. And this shouldn't surprise us because we recognize that persecution and Christianity go hand in hand. One thing that is shocking, and it shouldn't shock us, we're told not to be shocked, but it's still shocking. Everywhere you go, as a minister of the gospel, persecution follows you. It's amazing, even today with media, people are going and just slander campaigns. And it's following you. And don't be surprised by it. It shouldn't surprise us. It should be expected. After all, Philippians 1, 27 through 29 says, "For you know it's been granted to you for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer." So God didn't just make it so that you believe in him, so also for you to suffer. Our calling isn't just to believe, it's to suffer. Acts 14, 22 says, "Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God." Romans 8, 17 says, "We are sons of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him." Suffering is part of the Christian life because all who are truly changed will proclaim the message and will suffer for it. Indeed, 2 Timothy 3:12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be what? How many desire to live godly in Christ Jesus? Congratulations. You will what? I mean, clap for each other. At least you can get excited about that, right? Come on. The Puritan James Watson said, "The way to heaven is by way of thorns and blood." Dear friends, know that the days as we move ahead will be days of persecution. And it will characterize all who are going into the kingdom. Let me give you a second word. It's just as exciting. Second word, persecution. Second word, persecution. Look with me in verses 5, 10 through 12 again. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for what? For theirs is what?" A little louder. "Blessed," verse 11, "are you, when others" what? And the five people in the front row are awesome. The rest of you failed. All right. "On account on my" what? "On my account." You know, listen, persecution is that second word because I want you to understand the nature of this persecution. For most of us, we are not going to get our heads beheaded. We're not going to be beheaded, all right? You can clap for that. That's exciting. You know, you're not going to get your arm cut off, you know. That might happen in Africa, but you're not there, so it's okay, all right? One day, maybe, who knows? But what is the nature of this persecution? He tells us right here. He says, first of all, how is this persecution going to be? Number one, they're going to insult you. The idea is they're going to make fun of you. They're going to shame you. They're going to speak about you in an unkind way. And listen, that's what's going to happen. When you are a light on your workplace or on your campus, they're going to say, that guy, he's a dork. What is his deal? They're going to say, insult you. They're going to say unkind things about you. No, it's coming. No, that's part of it. And you go, why? Why are they doing that? I'm such a nice guy. But I was nice to him. But listen, there's another issue going on, but they're going to insult you. They're going to say unkind things about you. They're going to make you feel like you're a loser. And you see, that's the challenge we have. And you know and I know, once they start saying unkind things about you, all of a sudden, okay. It's Satan's way of silencing us. But not only are they going to insult you, number two, it says they'll persecute you by literally chasing you or pursuing you. Seek to drive you out is the idea there in verse 11. This persecution word is pursue you. They're going to hate your presence around them. They're going to make you outcasts. How many times have we seen this in the sports world, especially as the LGBTQ begins to take place in some of these professional sports, and you get a believer like on the women's soccer team, and all of a sudden she's not promoted to the women's national team, even though she's a better athlete. And because they don't want her there, they can't enjoy their sin while she's there. And so let's just push her out. Let's sideline her and push her out of the scene. Well, listen, guys, on your school campus, you want to live for Christ? Well, you're going to not be in the popular crowd. And so you got to get over that. You got to be okay. You're at the workplace. You're not going to be. Everybody's going to go out, and they're going to go have fun. And you're not going to be invited. But you got to be okay with that. You just need, that's part of this persecution. It's not that you aren't cool, all right? You're still cool. It's just you're not like them. And I think it's really important we understand these things. This is called what? Persecution. That's the nature of it. Thirdly, he tells them that they'll say all kinds of evil against you. Let me tell you, this one hurts. It hurts. I mean, after all, they said of Jesus that he was a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus was perfect. How in the world? A big mystery. How does somebody kill a perfect man who seeks to save the lost and make him die as a criminal? But what did they want to do? They wanted to silence him and say all kinds of evil against him. Because they didn't like him, even though he was their Messiah. Well, this is what's going to happen. They're going to say evil against you. They're going to get people to say, they're going to start saying things about you that aren't true. You know, you read these things in your Bible. And then you get out there, you seek to live godly and radical and Christianity and do everything right. And all of a sudden, people are going to start saying things. And you're going to be like, wait, why are they saying this? That's not fair. That's not kind. Hey, I'm not that way. And you start trying to actually like show them, hey, but I'm not that way. I think you misunderstood. Listen, the problem is not a misunderstanding. The problem is you are different than they are, and they slander you. In the life of SOS, and Bruce has followed us long enough, there's always been somebody slandering me. Always. In the life of Paul, everywhere he went, he had the Judaizers slandering him. He had to write, half of his letters are written to defend himself at some level from some sort of slander. This is part of Satan's methods to get us to be quiet. And Jesus knows it. That's why he's giving us this message right here. That's why he's giving us this message. And but notice clearly here why they're being persecuted in this way. Why are they being persecuted? It says, verse 10, it says, because of the sake of righteousness. It's because of righteousness. Verse 11 says, because of me, because of Christ. It's not you they hate. It's Christ they hate. It's your righteousness. It's your godly example that's shining out and making them feel uncomfortable. Guys, listen, we want to honor the Lord. We want to exalt him. What's going to come at a cost? And people are going to see this and not like you. And so we need to understand that this is part of the journey. Are we together? Are we together? Yes. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, it says this. I find this passage fascinating. It speaks of Cain and Abel. In verse 12, it says, we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. You can imagine being Abel, waking up one day, probably having joy in the Lord. Hey, Cain, how are you, buddy? Cain, what's wrong? Yeah, I'm tired of you. You do this, this, and this. What do you mean? Like, what did I do wrong? No. I mean, like, I'm always kind to you. I mean, he takes him and kills his brother. What did he do wrong? Listen to me. Nothing. It's what he did was right. One of the saddest stories of the Bible right there. You kill your own brother because he's righteous and makes you feel guilty. This is the world in which we live in. This is the world in which we live in. Brothers and sisters, if you are righteous, they will hate you because they hate the Christ that is in you. The only explanation for this is Christ in you. And we shouldn't be surprised that the Bible says in Proverbs 29:27, the unjust man is abomination to the righteous. Do you like unrighteous individuals? Answer? No, you don't like when people are living in sin and it's all around you. You don't like them? Well, according to Proverbs 29:27, they don't like you either. And who is unjust is in the way is abominable to the wicked. There is a common disdain. You don't like their sin. They don't like your righteousness. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. Psalms 37, 12. And let me even say this. This will happen with those who are claiming to be believers. Because we know there's a false gospel going out there, creating false conversion and people who are all okay with an immoral lifestyle, and you're coming and a Christian and shaming them. So don't be surprised by these realities. And actually, according to Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 12, 10 and 15, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. I most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. It's interesting as you get older, when you choose to follow Christ, it's just part of this Christian life. The good thing is as you get older, you start caring less. Because all of a sudden, you still recognize the influence of your life. And it's that persecution and that faithful love to your enemies that actually creates the impact of your life. I know what you're thinking. You're saying, Shannon, this is really an exciting message. Thank you for coming from Africa to tell us this. Well, this is now where we transition. Because I have a third word for you. The third word is identity. Identity. The third word is identity. When you hear this, the natural response is, hey, you're going to be persecuted. You're like, hey, sign me up. Come on, exciting. Yes. Anybody? Some of them were like, you know, if you say yes, you're weird, right? Nobody's wanting persecution. If you want that, then we were going to say you have mental problems. That's not what we want. And what it does is it naturally causes us to what? Oh, hey. Step backwards. It causes us to want to retreat. It's frightening. And so it begs the question is, why do we do this? Why would we do this? Come on. Well, that's where Jesus comes in. Knowing that that is the temptation, and verses 13 to 15, he answers why. And this is the answer he provides. Are you ready? Verse 13, well, you are what? Why do we do this? Because you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. That's who you are. That's who you are. You can't be anything other than what you are. You've been transformed. God set you free from sin. He put his spirit in you, and now you're a new person. Now you are salt. And not only are you salt, but you are what? You are the light of the world. You have a new identity. You are, come on, that was really weak. You are
salt.
You are
light.
You are
salt.
You are
light.
A little louder with pride. Come on. You are
salt.
You are
light.
Don't ever forget it. And that's exactly what Jesus' point is. This is who you are. This is who you are. Be who you are. Be who you are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. These are emphatic. And therefore, you must be who you are. You have a new identity. You've now become salt to this earth. You've now become light to the world. At the moment of your transformation, everything changes. Christ takes residency in you and he changes your identity. You say, well, Shannon, what does this mean? You're the salt of the earth. Now, salt in our day, is a little different than salt in that day. And listen, let me just say this up front. We're not talking about pink salt, okay? Nobody knows what is pink salt. Americans have gotten weird. And like this almond milk. Milk doesn't come from almonds. What happened to milk? You know, you go and you get a cappuccino, and they're like, do you want apple milk? You want this milk? I'm like, wait a second. You guys are lying somehow. I know that milk doesn't come from almonds. I'm like, just give me milk. Gee, you weird Americans. We're not talking pink salt. We're talking salt. We're not even talking about salt as a flavor. Okay, we're not flavoring the world. What we're talking about is salt as an antiseptic, a germ-killing medicine. It fights against bacteria. Because you don't have refrigeration, you pack things in salt, and now all of a sudden it's being preserved from decay, from germs. It fights against germs. And in the same way, in essence, Jesus is saying that disciples serve the world like salt serves meat. We we push back the corrupting decay of sin. We're living in a world and we're supposed to live out, pardon, I think I took care of that. We're supposed to live like salt so that sin will be pushed back. The decay will go away. You see, society over time goes from bad to what? We get worse. Well, the church in the world pushes back that. You are God's agent to push sin back. Let me say this. The problem in the society is not politics. The answer isn't politics either. The problem in society is the church not being the what? The church. You are the hope of the world. When I came into my little village, everything changed. Because light came into the world. Into that little society. History has shown that the world gets worse. I mean, we go from perfect creation to destruction of the fall, right? Over like this. We would go from perfect recreation at the fall to the Tower of Babel. Everything gets worse. It doesn't get better. I mean, even the nation of Israel, you're to be a pure people. And they didn't get better. They got worse because they failed to live out who they really are to be as agents in the world for God. And if we fail to do our job as believers, according to this, become useless. It's salt that doesn't do its job is useless. Just throw it out on the streets and we trample on it by man. Useless. Ineffective. Helpless. And you say, well, Chan, what does he mean by light of the world? What does he mean that you are the light of the world? Well, listen, in our country, in Uganda, light matters. Hey, you guys always have light. Look how many light bulbs we have right here. Everything has light. In Uganda, we have electricity that goes off like this. You're having church service, you're going like this, and then boom. And then know what? Everything goes. And that's not good. And so what happens when light comes? What happens to darkness? Gone. And that's why we put lights on everything. Lights on phones, lights on bikes. You know, see, I have this little button. All I got to do is press it when it works. And then what happens? Light. Why? Because this thing's critical in Uganda. One, so I don't wake my wife up when I'm sleeping, when she's sleeping. You know, you turn the light on. You don't want to hit anything. You put it on bikes and cars and planes and everywhere in your home because life is so important so that where light is, darkness is gone. In the same way, light causes darkness to dissipate. We as the church, being lights in this world, cause our environments to change. And that's why Jesus is emphatically saying, you are this, be this. The nature of a Christian in a society is the society changes. And if they don't want to change, they get angry that you're in their presence. And that's why the hope of the society are believers being believers. And this is seen emphatically in my own community, where everybody is living as if there is no king. And all of a sudden, we come into that society. We say, there is a, and his way is the. There is a, and his way is the, and all of a sudden people had no joy, no hope, no excitement about life. Now all of a sudden experience joy because people start getting married. Husbands start loving wives. They start caring for their kids and joy is restored. That's the impact of the true gospel going out. Where we're calling people to repentance of their self-living and calling them to follow King Jesus. Amen? Amen? And let me just say to you here, if you're here living as if there's no king, there is a king. And you must repent of doing things your own way and living as if there's no king. And you must bend the knee to his supremacy and follow him for your joy. But you see, when light comes, darkness goes away. Those drunkards who used to just sit on the streets. One time I'm driving in Uganda, and we have little ruts in our road because they're all done with dirt. And literally right in the middle of the road is a drunkard in the rut. By God's grace, I didn't squash him like a grape. So I got out, and I'm like, huh, is he there? You know, I'm like kicking him. And wake him up and then bring him, put him at our with our security and let him take a sleep until he wakes up. And thank God I had lights to see him. But you see, now those same drunkards, they don't want to be in our village because they realize this is not a good village. Or what do? They make fun of all of us who are what? Who are lights. Now, us as men, we have a job. Our job and our responsibility as men is to turn off what? Turn off lights. Am I right? I mean, we all know. We pay the bills and we go around. Our kids' job is to turn on lights. Our job is to what? I mean, that's what we do. We go around and turn in lights. Now imagine with me, I go into your house. And by the way, someone, I had lunch at their house after preaching this message and they turned on a light. And they put a blanket over it. I'm like, you're weird. I mean, if you go into a house and they have all the lights on but blankets over all their lights, what will you say to them? Come on, what will you say? You're weird. You're mentally disturbed. Listen, that is Jesus' point. Who lights a lamp and puts a blanket over it? Nobody. And if you're doing that, you are. Come on, look at your neighbor, just say you're weird. Go ahead. You know, a city on a hill lights up the society. Which brings us to the fourth word. Are you ready for the fourth word?
Yes.
We're going to have to dance when we say this word. First, fourth word is, what do you think? Shine! Fourth word is shine. Go with me to verse 16 and see the flow of this magnificent message. He says this in verse 16, in the same way. In the same way that you don't put a blanket over a light, rather you take the blanket away, and what do? And you what? And you what? And you what? Shine. Come on, you guys, come on. Give it to me, Josh. Newsboys, let's go. You all want to sing it. Verse 16, listen to the exhortation of Jesus Christ. Are you ready? This is a message directly to you here this morning at Compass Long Beach. Are you ready? Are you ready? Hear the authoritative words of Jesus Christ in the same way. Let your light, let your light, let your light shine before others. Don't fall back. Don't run. Don't fear the persecution. Rather, live out who you are as salt and shine. That's his message. Amen. Shine. Listen, this is the exhortation to you this morning. As we seek and we go out of these doors, shine, 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 shine. Get out there and shine. Get out there on the school campus and shine. Get out there in your workplaces and shine. Don't be afraid. Don't let the insults cause you to retreat. You just shine with a smile. Why? Because you are, and you are, let's do the right order. Someone misled. You are salt. You are, so, oh, that was so romantic. Here we go. You are, you are. Now,
shine.
Tell your neighbor that you are.
Salt.
Tell your other neighbor you are.
Shine.
Now yell at them. Now what?
Shine.
Woo! But you got to do the woo at the end. What's going on? You are.
Salt.
You are.
Light.
Now.
Shine.
Woo! Oh, Josh, I don't know what you're going to do next week. This is awesome. You guys, let's all go to Uganda together. You guys are great. Guys, what the Bible is saying is very clear. Despite the persecution, despite the insults, let your light shine. Live out who you are. Don't become useless like salt being trampled by men. Don't become stupid like a light on a hill being hidden by a blanket. Instead, courageously, boldly, let your light
shine.
I like that guy in the back. He's awesome. he's ready to do all the mannerisms. Come on. And God, that's the whole thing, is let your light shine. The encouragement, the exhortation, is the same message given all throughout the New Testament. Let's live out who we are unashamedly. But see, to do that, you're going to have to die to you. But see, when you came to Christ, this guy right here, come on. Yeah, I want to grow a beard just because of you, you know? You're going to have to die to yourself. But you say, when you came to Christ, you said, I've been crucified with. It is no longer I who, but Christ who lives what? in me. And so you have to stop caring. But listen, you're not attacking those. And that's why he gives the rest. He goes from here and says, how are we going to live in the kingdom? And that's what we see coming next. When your neighbor hits you on the one side, what are you to do? Turn the other. You're to love your neighbor as yourself. You're to pray for your enemies. When I went through all the different trials, I was committed to this end. And I want to say to you, I made a greater influence by my response to the suffering than I ever did when suffering wasn't there. And it proved to everyone. I mean, people were in the States looking on going, oh my goodness, what's going on? What's wrong with Shannon? Oh, you hear what they're saying? And you say, you know what? I'm going to live godly. Let me just give you one image of what this looks like, and I want to Pilgrim's Progress. You're safe right in the middle of his way. There's going to be lions on all sides wanting to come and look like they're going to tackle you, but you've got to go through it. But you're safe in the middle because the lions have chains by God there to protect you. You're safe as long as you walk righteously and humbly, dependent on the Lord, listening to his every word, you'll be completely safe. How are we to shine? What does this look like practically? According to this, it is by our good deeds. It's by our good deeds. Let your light shine so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. What are these good deeds? I want to suggest to you, first of all, it's righteous living. It's everything that Jesus is going to talk about. Because what does he talk about next? He starts talking about In verse 21, he starts talking about anger and divorce and lust and oaths and retaliation and all of it. I think it's living that godly lifestyle. It's also looking backward, and it's being pure in spirit. It's being pure of heart. It's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. It's living out true, authentic, biblical Christianity. I think that's the good deeds primarily in focus there. I think it's also going with a message. Listen to what it says here in Philippians 2, 14 and 15. It says, referring to not grumbling and disputing, he says, do all things without grumbling or disputing so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in a crooked and perverse generation of whom we will appear as lights to the world. You see, as you stop complaining, listen to me, stop what? Stop what?
Complaining.
Stop complaining. Be a blessing to your boss. Be a blessing to your husband. Stop. Stop complaining. Put on joy. Most attractive feature in a woman is what? Joy. There's no doubt about it. But see, when you put on that joy, you will shine as what? When you're a blessing in every situation, you'll put on light. But when you're there grumbling and you're like, rah, 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 you will look ugly. Sorry that I get to say it like it is and I get out of here. I go back to Africa, you know? But according to Jesus, when you don't grumble and complain, you shine forth as a light. Put grumbling and complaining away. There's no place for it in Christianity. That's not what we do. We live by fruits of the Spirit, not fruits of the... So when you don't see spirit, you see flesh, get rid of it. 1 Peter 2:12 says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that in the thing in which they slander you as an evildoer, they may be cut because of your good deeds as they observe them glorify your Father in heaven. You see, they're going to slander you, but respond with love. Thank you so much. First 3 years, I had partnered with an enemy, with a corrupt man. And I said, how can I love this man? Listen, it's preserved my heart, and it convicted him like crazy. But later on, his wife came looking for me. And not only that, but the testimony it left among all those I was ministering was the exact thing to advance the gospel for his namesake. Take the persecution and respond with grace and love. Notice really quickly the goal. The goal is not self-exaltation. The goal is what? Is the glory of God. Let your light shine in such a way they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who's in heaven. It's that God might be put on display. God's fame might go forth. We were saved that we might proclaim the excellencies of God. That's living out the purpose of our existence. And so put God on display. You see, when your marriage is being done God's way and all of the joy and all of the love and all of the romance is there, God is made great. They say, well, why is your marriage so good? Well, God is the answer. When they see your kids walking in obedience, loving their parents, it puts God on display. You know, in parenting, we need to worry more about looking like Jesus than even instructing. We need to do both. But they will follow your example. And when you put God in display and you teach your kids to act godly in Christ Jesus, everything changes. Remember, your bodies were bought with a price, so you must glorify God with your. Whether we eat or we drink, we do what? All for the. You see, we've died to self that we might live to Him. Let me just say this really quickly. In regards to this church right here and the theme that we have at hand, there's only one thing that'll change the heart. It's the power of the gospel. Only one thing that'll set people free from sin. It's what? And for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for? Listen, you have a choice. You either let your light shine and go out with this message in the most loving, sweet, kind, attractive way, and take on the persecution, or you let people die in their sins and let your society crumble. And I suggest to you, according to the authority of God's word, let your light what?
Shine.
Let it shine. Because you are?
Soul.
You are? Woo! Let me give you the final word. Final word here is blessing. Final word is blessing. Looking at the time, I've gone over time. I apologize for that. Kind of. Blessing. Look at just verse 12. And this is a hit and run. Verse 12 says this, blessed are you when what? When others persecute you or revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you. Blessed are you. Verse 12, rejoice and be what? Glad. For your what? Reward in heaven is? So they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Dear friends, he says to rejoice. Literally, skip and jump happily, excitedly, with excitement. We're not called to retreat. We're called to endure and do it with joy and excitement, knowing that there is future what? Reward. Happy is this man. There is future reward. Your reward will be great. What does he say in Mark 10, 29, 30? Who has left house or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake will receive 100 times as much in the age to come. Come on! That's worth getting excited about. You see, we can get excited about persecution knowing that there's reward in heaven. And we're going to live for that kingdom, not this one. You can rejoice and be glad because your reward will be great. Dear friends, the gospel is going to come at a cost. The cost is going to be you. The cost is going to be you. But you are. You are. So therefore, you need to go and let your light
shine.
Amen. Oh, beautiful congregation. Woo! You see, that woo is really saying, and I'm happy about it. One last time, just for, let me just video the, no. We are what?
Salt.
You are?
Light.
And we're going to let our light?
Shine. Woo!
And we're going to do it happy. Listen, as you go out this week and go door to door, let that light shine, okay? We're proud of you. We're cheering you on. And you're joining the rest of the army. The prophets went before you, and they were persecuted. It's okay. We have a coming reward. As we end, we're going to end with in a selfish way, with a little commercial of SOS. We're in Uganda. Our ministry is funded because by you, okay? And at the end of the day, we've left you in your bulletin our prayer card because I want you to pray like crazy, okay? When you see this or you see an Aflac duck, pray. And you guys that are in beach communities, I see some of you have a Hurley shirt. That's my last name. When you see a Hurley shirt, feel free to pray. All right? I didn't invent that company, by the way. But here's our prayer card. Will you put us somewhere that you would pray for us? Pray that God will transform Uganda. And that's our goal. We're not going small ball. We're going for it, okay? Pray that God would transform Uganda. Secondly, here's a little flyer. This is a very practical way to help. You can do a community impact or a church impact. Help us carry out these missions. I would love for 30 of you to jump on and just help us monthly so that we can advance the name of Christ in East Africa. God's at work, and we praise the Lord for all of you who can help us with the mission. Sorry, I went a few minutes late. Lord bless you guys. Let me pray. Father, as we close this service, the message is simple, and we need your help to do it. Father, as we go out of these doors, Father, give us the boldness, the confidence in your word to shine forth. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we commit to you, the saints that are here. Even tonight as we speak to the college group, we ask that you would powerfully impact and help us in our kingdom journey. Through your Son, we pray. Amen.